Live. I'm your host, Carrie Wilt, a speaker, writer, and heart cultivator who's on a mission to help you grow through anything. I'm here today with my special guest, Isis Davis, who has graciously agreed to be a part of this new interview series called Our Secret Garden Stories, which basically features those who have helped bring the new Secret Garden movie to life. I'm so excited. Welcome, Isis.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to dig right in. Basically, tell our audience, which is kind of all over the world, but I guess I didn't even mention it when I introduced myself, but we live in Texas, so it's probably even a more U.S.-based audience. So tell people who you are, maybe some of the things that you've been in before, and what role you play in the new movie.
Okay, so I'm Isis Davis. I am a British actor. I've been in quite a few iconic British soaps and dramas on TV. I play Martha, which is an amazing role, and I feel really humbled and, you know, grateful that I've got the job, and I loved every minute of it. Filming was amazing, and I'm Martha, and that's
it. I have to tell you from the get-go, hands down, Martha is my favorite Secret Garden character, always has been, because I love her spunk, I love her sass. I feel like I have always been that auntie who isn't afraid to, like, kind of tell the younger ones, like, yeah, no, you're not gonna be that way. And Martha just has this way about her that is probably, it truly is, she's always been my favorite character.
I think Martha, I mean, she's kind, but she's no nonsense as well.
Yes.
She doesn't take nonsense. And, you know, she tries to make Mary become self-sufficient. She's not going to pander to her needs. And I think they form a beautiful friendship. And, but Martha, she's kind, she's lovely, but she's no nonsense. So.
Yes. That's what I like about her.
Yeah.
Tells it as is. So talk to me about your relationship with the Secret Garden. Now, had you read the book before this part, or was it a part of your life in any way?
It was. So I remember it from a child. It was one of my favorite books. And I also remember the old film. That was one of my favorite films growing up. And it was because it's magical. It's just magical. And my mom used to read it to me. And it was so weird because I didn't know they were doing a remake. And then years later, once I got the job and everything, I was like, had a moment of realization. I was just like, oh my God, this is like one of my favorite books growing up. And now I'm actually in it. It's surreal. It was one of my favorite stories growing up.
How did you go about getting this part? Did you have to go through a casting call, or were you specifically requested for this part, or is there any story behind that?
No, I had to audition, of course.
Of course. They don't just give jobs away.
Yeah, they don't just give jobs out. Not yet, no. if only. No, I had to audition. I've worked with Mark Munden before on a Channel 4, I think in Sony series. I'm not sure if it was Sony. In England, it was a Channel 4 series called Electric Dreams, Philip K. Dick's anthology, and he directed one of the episodes, and I had a small part in one of those. So I'd already met him before, but it was a completely different role to the role of Martha. But I was called into audition, and I taped first, and then I auditioned, and then to my shock, surprise, I got the role. I was really happy, so yeah.
How does that happen? Does your agent call you when you get a role and you hear about it that way? Or I always wonder about these things, like, or is there just a random email that goes out?
Used to
when you tried out for a play, if your name was listed on the piece of paper outside the drama guy's
door,
if
you got the part.
Knew you got the part. But how does that happen these days?
My agent phoned me. I can't remember what, I think I was shopping or something, and I was like, my agent phone was like, hello, yeah, there's like, you've got the job. I was like, no, yeah, they need you in Pinewood Studios in like half an hour, a car's coming to get you. I was like, no way. And
that fast.
It was that fast to get costumed. So I'm the same day I found out I got the part, the same, about an hour later, I was in a car going to the studios getting fitted for costume.
Talk about surreal.
Yeah. Yes, it was very surreal.
Well, and I have seen the movie. By the time this airs, it'll be out in the US. So right. It goes direct to video in August. But one of the, for me, the most fantastic parts of the movie is the costuming.
Mm.
I mean, it itself is magical and taken to a whole nother level.
It's amazing.
They're so talented.
So talented. The work that goes into those costumes and... Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, Mary Dixie, who plays, yes. She has the best wardrobe because yes. she had so many changes. Not to spoil it, but I pretty much stay in more or less the same thing throughout. But yeah, they're amazing costume. I mean, the whole crew, everyone that, like, makeup, hair and makeup, costume, like the whole crew, everyone that worked on that film was incredible. It's one of the best jobs I've worked on. It was just, I hate to say it and sound corny, but magical. It was really right. like the kids, that everyone was just, we just pulled together. It was a really, really lovely job to work on.
Mark mentioned, I've already interviewed him, and he's lovely. Very lovely.
Yes.
And he was just saying, you know, one of the best parts is that everybody wanted to be there. Everybody wanted this film to come to life,
and
wanted to be a part of that. And he said, I think, you know, there was something to that piece. And it was everyone from the costume designer to, but I think probably also you agree or disagree, but I think the way Mark managed everything, you know, he left it all really open for everybody to push and do things in way different ways. And it's so evident when you see the film that, you know, I feel like there's nothing else like it out there.
Yeah.
Am I being partial? I feel like.
No, not at all.
Right?
Yeah. And like kids today who haven't seen the old film or haven't even read the book, it's like, this is going to blow their mind. It's, I would have loved to seen this film as a child. It is magical. They're just going to be sucked into that world. It's beautiful.
I was being interviewed yesterday for a local TV station that was asking about the new movie. And I was describing it as if, like, I was like, take the Secret Garden book and then look at, like, you're this movie is basically looking at it through the keyhole of the Secret Garden, as if, like, Alice in Wonderland, you know, as if she almost, like, tumbled into this whole mm-hmm. other world. Mm-hmm. It's that dreamy, it's that magical, it's that mind blowing around mm-hmm. every single corner. It's so good.
I don't want to give it away, but I'm really proud to be part of it. And like you said, Mark said, everyone wanted to be there. It was, you know, and because the Secret Garden, I don't know what it's like over there, but in England, like, most people read it growing up.
Yes.
No, so it's a story that we all know. It's an iconic British novel, like, we all know it as kids. It's read to us, and so everyone knew it. A lot of people had seen the old film, and we just all wanted to do it justice, and I think we have.
I can tell you from a family standpoint, I feel like it's such a lovely version, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah.
When you tell people that you're in this film, how do they react to you?
Shocked, excited, happy.
Yeah.
Like so many people can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could, people are really, they can't wait. Obviously because of COVID, it slowed down everything.
Right.
So yeah, people are just excited. And the thing is, the kids have, I call them kids, they're young adults now. They're doing so well and they're in other things. And so it's like, yeah, people just want to see them. It's, I think, yeah, people are excited.
Yeah.
Just
well, I ask that just because I know, so I've grown up with Francis, as you know, mm-hmm. and so when I tell people who I'm related to, people get, they're very sentimental about this book, and they get all, they're like, really, that's my favorite yeah. book ever, and they get yeah. all, and I've talked to biographers who've written about my great-great-grandmother, or, mm-hmm. You know, people who've been involved in the play, or even the musical, you know, that, yeah. You know, it's, I feel like it's one of the best parts of my job, is that I get to like own a little bit of that love that's coming back at the Secret Garden, just yeah. because I'm somehow a part of it. And I bet that you get to do the same thing in the same respect.
I do. And then when I've told people, they're like, oh really, who are you playing? And I'm like, oh, Martha. No way.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, I got giddy yeah. about it. I mean, I was like, I'm interviewing Martha. She's my favorite.
Yeah. It's surreal. It's so weird because obviously we filmed it quite a while ago now.
Right.
2 years ago. So it's so much happens within that time. Like for months you're filming and then you're just waiting to see what happens. And then it's like the build up, it's going to be released. And then obviously COVID just shook the world and nothing was released. And then it's so weird. It's like, oh, it's nearly there. And like, everyone's excited, but yeah, it's just, it's incredible. I'm excited for it to come out. I'm excited for people to see me play a different role as well, because it's the first time I've played a character like Martha, for people to see, because usually I play a lot of different type of roles. So yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm excited. I'm excited for people to see it. If yeah. they haven't seen it yet, if you have not seen it yet, everybody go out.
Go and
on, it's
it.
On
yes.
video on demand exactly. right now. You can go see it. Okay, so these next couple questions actually come out of a daily practice of mine that was inspired by a quote from The Secret Garden, where Marius basically said that she could never imagine forgetting the first day that her garden began to grow. And it reminded me that I never want to forget the joy, goodness, and growth that's happening in my life. And so as a part of my daily practice each morning, I look back at the day before and I recognize what joy, what bit of goodness, which is what I'm grateful for, and what growth came out, what life lessons did I learn the day before, et cetera. So I want to ask you to look back 2 years ago, right? It's been, it really has been some time. And can you give me an idea of like what brought you joy during that time period?
Oh, well, filming.
Sure, whatever. Yes.
Just living my dream as an actor, really. Doing a job that I absolutely love and getting paid to do a job that I love and being part of something iconic. And yeah, it was just going into work, feeling excited, feeling like I kept pinching myself every time I was getting picked up because I was part of this production and I was living out my dreams.
That's awesome. I love that. So what about, looking back, what are you most grateful for during that time?
I'm grateful for the people that were around, the whole cast and crew, the young adults that were the other roles were amazing. Meeting Colin Firth and Julie, they were just incredible. And you know, their British household names, their working with them was just surreal. Surreal. And just an acting lesson in itself. Just watching Julie in rehearsals was just a dream come true. I was just thankful for everyone that was on that job. And I really mean it, everyone, the whole cast and crew, I got on with them. They made it fun. And yeah, I'm thankful for the company that was on the job with me.
I love it. So I'm sure with every project you do, you come out growing and learning on the other side. What was some bit of personal growth or, professional growth that came out of this experience for you?
I think I was writing a lot while I was while I was like in my dressing room and all that, because I'm also a writer as well. Okay. And I was writing a lot whilst on that film, because there's a lot of people don't realize when you're acting there's a lot of hanging around, like so yeah, I was writing a lot, and I just felt like after we wrapped on The Secret Garden, like my writing career has really taken off. So I'm doing a lot. I'm writing for a lot of productions. I'm really in a great place and really grateful to be in the place that I'm at. And I think I got confidence by just writing and writing and writing and talking about writing. I was really like, for the first time, talking about myself as an actor writer and gaining confidence with that, and people were really interested in it, like other actors and people that I was talking to on set. And I think I gained confidence from that job, especially with the rest of the cast, like the children, young people, they were all amazing. Like they are phenomenal young actors, like, and at their age to do what they do, and they're all going to be like in this country already, they're going to be household names in a few years. They're incredible and so lovely, like as people, but to work with as well. And working with Colin and Julie, it was just like, it gave me confidence. Like, yeah, I'm working with two mega stars. Not stars, but like household names, like, yeah. Well-respected British actors that are known worldwide and are phenomenal at what they do, and I'm working with them, besides them, and holding my own. It gave me confidence. Yeah,
I love that. It made
me believe in myself. I mean, well, I already had a bit of belief,
right?
You have to,
right. Yes.
In profession, But I've just got to a point where, because I was just like, yeah, man, I'm doing it. I'm doing what I love. People want to see me. I'm an actor writer. I'm mingling with the best, and I've gained a lot of self-confidence.
I love that. I quit writing for 25 years. And when I started writing again, for me, one of the most liberating thing was when I started to just call myself a writer and say it out loud, exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. Talk about it. I talked about my writing. Instead of it being this little thing that, I was kind of just doing on the side.
Yeah.
Once I started really owning that's what it was that I was doing, and that was who I was, even though I don't know that I felt that way yet. I think every time I said it, I was like,
exactly.
It's such a good life lesson, because sometimes I think you just have to say it before you're even there.
Yeah, it's so true. It's once you put it out there, it's like, this is me, this is who I am. And it's getting that doubt out the way. It's putting it forward. This is, I'm an actor writer, or I do this. And the more you say it, the more you believe it, and you're doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's actually 100% in The Secret Garden as well. In the book, when Colin says, I'm going to say it over and over and over again, I'm going to get well, I'm going to be strong as Dickon, I'm going to, he knew the power of words, is amazing.
Hey friends, I know you're loving my interview with Isis, but I wanted to break in and ask you a favor. I could use your help. As we just talked about with Isis, words are so powerful. Did you know that every time you use your words to leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts or make a comment on our YouTube channel or on any of the Well Tended Life social media posts, it unlocks the doors for others to experience the life tending magic too. So don't just watch, listen, and scroll on by next time. Leave us a positive review. Tell a friend to like or follow the Well Tended Life, share a post, or simply comment away when a topic strikes your fancy. I also wanted to make sure that you're signed up for our weekly newsletter so that you don't miss anything that's growing on here at the Well Tended Life. So head on over to thewelltendedlife.com and simply plant your email in the subscribe box. Then each week, I'll send out a quick note to all my Well-Tended Life friends that includes these podcasts, information on growth, goodness, and general goings-ons that you don't want to miss. And now, let's get back to the goodness that blooms in the rest of this chat with Isis.
So what are you writing? What kind of projects are you working on?
I write a lot of drama. So I've been commissioned on a few projects. I'm not allowed to talk about because they're in the development stage.
Things for the stage, things for movies,
things for the screen, TV dramas. And I've just recently, a few weeks ago, joined the writer's room for Killing Eve season 4.
Exciting.
So, yeah, that's...
Look at you, you're in there, you're doing this.
I'm a writer, actor, man. Yeah.
I love it. I saw on your social media that you're having quite a few pangs from not being able to act right now. Talk to me about that. For someone who is used to, you know, being out in that world all the time, I would almost think that you would also probably be a little bit thankful because it is pushing you towards your writing and this other thing that you were trying to grow.
You know what? I have never worked so much in all my life during quarantine. It's crazy. I miss acting though. Oh gosh. Yeah. I can't wait till productions are up and running again. I really miss acting. But on the writing side of things, I've been busy. I've worked every day of lockdown, which I'm very grateful for because as an actor, the job's work is non-existent. So, you know, I'm writing and doing a job that I love. So I'm really, really grateful. I have a family as well. So, you know, it's important that I write and do what I'm doing. But I miss acting, man. there's something about being on set and just playing different roles. And I just love it. I actually booked a theatre job before lockdown, which would have been going all through the summer. Which would have been brilliant because I love theatre as well, but obviously everything got cancelled, so there we go.
Wow, I'm excited for you and the progress you're making on the other side.
Thank you.
So talk to me, think back again to your time on The Secret Garden. So one of the things I also am always on the lookout for are needs or challenges that are popping up in my life. During The Secret Garden, did you have any, you know, struggles or challenges that came with either playing the role or even just maybe even putting your family life on hold while you go and film? And if so, you know, how do you overcome those kind of things? Can you talk a little bit about any of that?
So I have a young family. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. At the time, I just had a 2-year-old. So it is hard when you're working, especially if you work on location. Luckily, I wasn't on location that much. So the Pinewood, where the majority of Inside was shot, is not far from, it's in London, it's just on the outskirts. So that was okay. It's hard when you've got a family and you have to prioritise work. But if you've got a supportive partner, that's that's part of the industry that we're in, really. But it is, it can be hard, yeah. It can be hard when you've got young kids, because they don't understand that you, they don't understand, you know, that you've got to do this, and they don't care. So, yeah, it's...
No, it's amazing. I'm my husband and I are currently obsessed with a Netflix show. Actually, no, it's on Amazon Prime, called Alone, where they drop these people off, like, in the middle of nowhere, and they're like survival people, and they have to like eat, you know, get their own food, boil their water, do, you know, put up shelter, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And this guy was gone for like, I don't know, 40 days, and he had like probably a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And he comes back like half the size that he was, like, you know, ragged and tagged, and the kids are like, oh, hey, Dad. like he hadn't even been gone at all.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there's
yeah.
part of me that actually really takes I like that, because I think, okay, if I've gone away to on vacation or same thing, I'm busy with work, that they're really not as affected or even understand what it is that you probably even have. Do you think your kids have any idea what you do? Do they see you on screen?
They do know. So my older daughter, she's 4, so she's really excited to see The Secret Garden.
Yeah.
She's seen the trailers. I'm really excited to share that with her.
Have you read the book to her yet?
I've started reading the book to her, and actually I have two signed copies for them. I was like, I have to get them copies. So yeah, I've got 2 signed copies for them.
And signed copies from my great-great-grandmother?
No, from the cast.
Okay, from the cast. Okay, got it. I was all like, what?
Awesome. No. On the job, I was like, my partner was like, you have to take them in, you have to get the kids signed copies. So I was like, okay then. But she loves it. She loves it. She's really excited. My 2-year-old doesn't really know.
No. The 2-year-old doesn't really understand.
Not really. And the thing is, most of what I've, a lot of what I've been in before is not suitable for children.
Right.
So she hasn't seen me in much, because it's always something that is, she will give her nightmares or... Yeah. It's inappropriate. So she hasn't seen me act properly.
Oh, I think she's gonna absolutely love it. And I can't imagine like sitting next to her and seeing you on the screen, you know, being like, that's you, Mom. How crazy is that?
She's so like, awesome. Mommy. Like, she loves it. Yeah, she's really excited. So
that is so fun. Mm. So talk to me, basically. I mean, the message of The Secret Garden is one that has lasted almost 109 years now. In fact, in August, it'll be 109 years since the printing of The Secret Garden. You know, what do you hope that those who watch what you've created and helped create, what do you hope that they plant deep in their hearts after watching this movie? Like, what do you want them to walk away with from the message?
To believe in magic. I think also, I think today this film is so important because a lot of kids don't go outside. And I know that sounds so simple, but the beauty of nature and the beauty of exploring outside, a lot of children today, they just don't. They sit on tablets or devices and they don't care, and it's hard for them to, they don't do anything other than watching Netflix, TV, flicking through things, and they have no interest in outside. So I think if they can watch this and get inspired to go and explore and go for walks in the woods with their parents, and if parents think, oh, let's go here, let's, like, we live right, there's a massive woods around the back of our house, and we're always taking the girls out, like, come on, what can we find, like, and it's magical as kids. And I think if children can watch this film and believe in that magic, and it inspires them to get up and want to go out and explore, I think that's really important. I don't think kids today enjoy outside as much as they should, and that's a shame. I think believing in the magic.
I love that. Well, and it's interesting too, because one of the things that Frances was very much a supporter of was getting kids outside. The press at the time talked quite a bit about that because back then in that time period, kids were basically to be seen and not heard. You know, they were to be quiet. They were not to be, you know, stomping and romping about. And she very much believed in that, in the power of nature and getting out and getting your hands dirty and you know, letting them run free. And you can see that in the theme throughout the book and throughout the film of that that healing power of nature. That's one of my favorite things about this film is really how the animation has brought that that garden to life in a way that wraps its arms around every person who entered into it, and really and helps them, you know, with its magic. So, well, I love that. Thank you so much for talking with me today and sharing your secret garden stories with our listeners. One of the things that I always do, you're frozen again. Oh, there you are. Okay. We're going to do this. One of the things I always do whenever I meet anyone who has been a part of sharing the secret garden forward, is that I declare you an official secret gardener. Because of your role in helping to spread the magic, to help people believe in hope and change and all of those good messages that the Secret Garden brings. It's important. It's important what you've done. It's important the role that you played. You will help heal people. You will bring hope to those who, you know, have been stuck inside with all of this craziness. I just thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart for all you did.
Thank you. And it's been such an honor. I mean, Martha is just an amazing character. And just to be part of the production as a whole and to get to play Martha has just been a dream come true. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody who has been watching this on YouTube or listening to the podcast. We appreciate everything you do, too. So until next time, y'all, blessings and blooms.
Thanks,
guys. Like, were you, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, being a part of this production, but I also know what went on behind the scenes to create what he created. And, you know, you play your little part here, but to see, were you just like dumbfounded when you saw the finished product?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was emotional. It was emotional. And I really believe Dixie she's going to just blow up. I mean, she's already recognised as one of the rising stars. And as I think she's just going to be a phenomenal talent. And she's really being recognised already. And all the kids, when I know I said it and I know you've worked with people in this industry, but they are really so lovely in person. Just the loveliest. And they've all got promising careers. They're incredible. And they've
Well, you are incredible also. I'm very excited about your writing.
Thank you.
You know, keep going after it. Keep calling yourself whatever it is you want to be next.
Yeah, exactly.
Say it out loud. Yeah. Put it on out there. Then people have to hold you to it, right? You're not going to say true. If you say it, then I got to be it true. Now. I'm not going to go back on what I said I was.
Exactly. It's true.
Well, awesome. Where did your name come from?
It's Egyptian. It's an Egyptian goddess. So I'm not Egyptian, but
of course it is.
Yeah, my dad loved Egyptian mythology, and he just loved the name. So
I love it.
My mum wanted to call me Justina, but my dad won. So
I love it. Man, it's a perfect name for an actor, though. I mean, an actress, like, I mean,
yeah,
you know, it makes you unique for sure.
Well, awesome. I hated it growing up.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I hated it growing up. Then I loved it. Then, obviously, all the terrorism kicked off. Then I didn't like it again, but still liked it, but didn't like people knowing what it was. And now I'm just like, oh, it's fine. I love it now. It's fine.
Hey, friends. I had so much fun talking with Isis today about her role as Martha in the new film. If you get a chance, go see all the other things that she has created. Things like Cover Me, Lie Low, and Bloody Minded. You can also follow her at I Speak, I Share. That's just like ISIS, ISIS, I Speak, I Share. And remember, all month long here on the podcast, we're featuring interviews with those who've helped to bring the new Secret Garden movie to life. So stay tuned here for next week's episode with the movie's screenwriter, Jack Thorne, who was actually bedridden for a time in his 20s, just like Colin. So make sure to follow The Well-Tended Life on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe today to our podcast and YouTube channels by the same name. And until next time, y'all, blessings and blips.